Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at GoonaGirl1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the Highbury Squad. We are all buzzing, and I wonder why. Okay, this is episode 14 of a 19-game unbeaten run. So today I've got me Soph with me. Hello, Soph.
Hello. I've never been so happy on a Monday in a very long time. Hola.
Hola, hola, hola in La La Land. Right, then we got Super Kev. You right, Kev?
Oh, yeah. I'm brilliant.
We all just want to sing, don't we? We all just want to sing.
There's a tinge of anger as well.
There is.
Okay,
there is.
We're going to discuss that in a minute. Look, first of all, Soph, you was watching in La La Land. I was at the Emirates and Kev was at Anfield just before the Liverpool-Everton game. So where do we want to start? I mean, look, we are all buzzing. Everyone is buzzing. The ground was buzzing. I mean, Kev, you asked me during the game, didn't you, or half time, what's the atmosphere like? I can't actually explain it. You would never have got it on TV to actually what was going on. There was an air of confidence. There was an air of unity. There was an air of excitement. It just felt we were ready. To win on the weekend has helped us. The fact that we're still on our unbeaten run, the fact that we were at home, the fact that we played Liverpool, I think, helped. The fact that we can come out in the first minute and play, and we played much better than we did against Liverpool, was the beginning. And when I was in the CAF beforehand with all the Arsenal fans, with my cousin and his son, both me and his son went win, straight away, win. I think he said 2-1, I said 3-2 offs. And my cousin went 2-0. Now, normally he's quite positive. I went, Barry, we've got them today. There is just something about today. Couldn't put my finger on. He goes, you've gone for 3-2. I went, yeah, I fancy it, actually. We're definitely going to concede one or two, but I fancy it. So for me, walking into the ground, I was very positive. Seeing the team, I have to be fair, I wasn't that positive when I saw the defence. But I thought,
3-4-3.
I know. Well, was it though, Kev? Because it changed during the game, if I'm honest.
Yeah,
there was times.
But that's one of Unai Emery's greatest skills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is his tactical awareness and the way he can change it. I mean, I just think he was great. Look, we're going to get into that. Go on. Keep going.
No, that's fine. I mean, I don't want to go through the whole game because obviously you've both watched it as well. But I just want to go on about the fans and everything. I've not known us to rock that stadium since Napoli, God knows how many years ago. It was great against Liverpool, but nothing compared to that. And as much as we're not allowed them, watching the flares go off, I loved, if I'm honest.
Me too.
The atmosphere wasn't nasty. It was banter. It was, you know, we know Spurs are a good side. There's no doubt in that. We know. Yeah. But I had a feeling that they weren't going to be as confident as what the media portray. And I do watch a lot of Spurs, like the rest of us. And I honestly didn't have any fear. Only when it went 2-0, funny enough, but we'll talk about that as we'll go along. So, okay, Kev, look, you were at Anfield. Obviously, I saw what was going on up there on FaceTime and God knows what else. But tell us what it was like, because you were in the lounge watching it, I'm assuming.
Yes, I was in the corporate with Red Nose John. And it was, everybody was paying keen attention to that game because everyone wants to find out if Arsenal are for real. We know Arsenal can be for real, but this was a test now. Obviously, mm-hmm. after we played Liverpool and we scared them. So now we're playing a so-called another top four team and see how we get along. I mean, I was confident. We all were confident, to be honest, because we know that we turn up now in the big games.
Mm.
And the way the team started the game, I mean, we spoke about the team playing 3-4-3 in a previous pod, and we weren't convinced that that was that would do the job.
We weren't, were we? Kev, we talked about that on the last pod, didn't we? Yeah, we were really afraid of it. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the way Tottenham played against Chelsea, the way they dismantled them, we could see us, the way we played with three at the back, we could see their positives outdoing us. But Unai Emery, he's a master tactician. He looks at them and he looks at their strengths and he makes sure we take their strength away. And that centre of the pitch with Torreira and Xhaka, we took their strength away in the first 25 minutes. I mean, we could have been out of sight after 25 minutes. We probably should have been, but we didn't take our chances. We scored one goal, obviously took the lead, and then all hell broke loose. A mistake, a free kick, which wasn't a free kick. Great delivery from Eriksen. Eric Dier gets a header and Leno makes a mistake. Okay, honours even. But that penalty shout made my blood boil.
Mm-hmm.
Made my blood boil.
Can I just interrupt a second? Sorry, 1 second. What I'm going to do is I'm going to speak to the ref later. He couldn't come on at this moment because, honestly, Kev, the minute that was given, I went to my dad. He went, yeah, definite penalty. When I went to you lot and every journalist and every Facebook and every Twitter and everyone said it was a dive. But yeah. I'm going to talk to the ref later and hopefully we'll add that on and see what he's got to say. But go on, Soph, what did you think?
So I think I completely agree with you guys. One of the things that we've spoken about this season is, you know, how different we are as a squad and as a team, united. And, you know, Kevin hits the nail right on the head. Unai is a master tactician and a master genius. And I said on another previous pod, I feel like he has a little bit of Pep Guardiola in him. And what he's done that is so magical at Arsenal is make us adaptable. His adaptability as a coach. We went 2-2, right? And I don't know if you saw him on the sideline. He was scratching his chin. I don't know if you saw it, Kev. It might have been tougher for Amanda to see it, but he was scratching his chin and he was thinking. You could see him weaving and thinking, right, now how are we going to win this game? What is my next chess move? And yeah. He had more chess moves than Mauricio Pochettino in that match. He outclassed him. He outcoached him. But what has he done? He's transformed this group of unconfident players last season into being believers and to matching and complementing each other. The beginning of the match, I was so worried about the three at the back. I was talking to Patrick, the producer on the sports bar on TalkSport, and he goes, listen, I don't fear Kolasinac and Bellerin going forward in this game. And I was really fearful of that because of what I'd seen Tottenham do to Chelsea. And the other thing, I think I was just so worried about losing this game. I just didn't want to lose this game. And he said, he goes, I also don't fear Sogradis but matching Kane and Dele up front for pace. And I don't know if Sogradis has checked his back pockets today because Kane might still be in there. It was quite unbelievable. And his post on Instagram just shows the spirit of the squad and the team. When we went 2-1 down, I did fear the worst. I thought to myself, hold on a second. Is this going to be deja vu? But the way that what he does at halftime, guys, I don't know what it is he does at halftime, but it is amazing. This guy is a manager, he's a coach, he's a man manager, he's a game manager, he's a baller. And the biggest test for us was going to be this North London derby, and we passed it with flying colours.
Can I just say something as well, which is really interesting, which is really strange, actually. I know you're not going to get this, but when we were winning 2-1, I looked at my cousin and went...
No, they were losing 2-1.
Sorry, no. When we were winning 1-0, okay, yeah. It wasn't far off half time, was it? There wasn't a lot. I don't remember their first goal, what time they scored it. But I remember saying to my cousin, I'm not sure how I feel about this. He went, what? I went, going in, winning at half time. He went, are you mental? I went, no. I said, they only know how to win when they're losing at half time. I was having a conversation with him when one of the players was down. He looked at me like I was absolutely nuts. He goes, you want to be losing at half time? I went, well, they know how to win. I said, from a losing position. I said, of course not, but When it went 2-1, he looked at me, went, exactly what you said, Kev, you've jinxed it. I went, yeah, but I feel more confident now. I said, they know how to win from coming back from whatever, one or two goals down. I've got more confidence now. And I called it. I did call it a few minutes before a half time. I said, we need Ramsey and we need Lacazette on this bench, on this pitch so desperately. Lacazette, so desperately, we needed it. But I'm so impressed with Emery, and I have seen that clip, Sophie, of him scratching his chin. It was sent to me, and I love him. I watched him a lot that you wouldn't have seen. He was up and down that line, right? I'm in awe of him. I think he's brilliant. Listen, he has got a touch of pep, and I remember you saying it, and I do agree with you. He is definitely one for the future, and he's working so hard. The tactics, the fact that he will bring someone on the minute the second half starts, I just want to praise him for that, because obviously we weren't used to that. And he knows what to change, doesn't he? He just knows what to change. I love him. I can't, how can anyone fault him on a 19-game unbeaten run? I don't care who we've played.
Amanda, Sophie, I'm gonna say one thing which I think all the fans really loved. You know, after they equalised, and Eric Dier was taking liberties, Lichtsteiner, and there was obviously we're getting charged. Both teams are getting charged.
Yep,
I loved it.
Yeah,
and people were off the bench down there.
Yep.
That was like the old Arsenal.
Yep,
that was, you can't come in our house and take liberties, mate. You know,
no,
what I mean?
Do you know what was really interesting, Kev? On the way there, I said to Barry, my cousin, I went, do you know what? I went, these derbies are nothing like the 80s and early 90s. I went, there's never any stuff going on anymore. There's nothing. There's banter with the fans, but there's nothing tasty on the pitch. Little did I know what was going to happen. That is right opposite me on the other side of the pitch, right?
Did you guys have any issue with Eric Dier shushing us? Think about what Thierry's done to them over the years. I mean, all the abuse.
Also, did you see Aubameyang? He went to them. When he scored the penalty.
I've got no problem with it.
What I've got a problem was he virtually went into the crowd, and then it all started with the substitutes, and actually it was Lichtsteiner that started it all. But you know what? Telling Ramsey to go back and sit on the bench, and then he comes on and has two assists is honestly, Kev, how would that have made you feel? If that was you warming
that's
up,
brilliant.
Tottenham, you come on and do that.
Oh, listen, to win, like, to beat them, is everything. But to have a bit of angst with them and then come on and do it just adds the sprinkling and the cherry on top, I tell you. That would have been awesome. It was awesome to see the team fight the way they fought. And you know what? It's the way they done it. It's the way Arsenal took it to them that really made a difference. Listen, I was just so proud. I was so proud of the boys for the way they... Second half, Unai Emery made the changes at halftime, which were masterful, got us back into the game. I thought Ramsey was awesome. And look, I know there's contract issues, but the way Unai Emery moved Lacazette and Aubameyang kind of up front with Ramsey in behind them caused Tottenham all sorts of problems. They couldn't handle it. And obviously, Aubameyang's second goal. Wow. Great ball from Bellerin. Great vision. Great run from Ramsey. And he finds Aubameyang on the stretch and first time finishing the corner. Awesome. That's another great goal that we've scored.
And also with Aubameyang, I don't think we've had a striker like that instinctively who can do magical things since Robin van Persie. And I feel like he's such a player, a special player who can create something out of nothing, as is Lacazette. And, you know, for me, those two have infused this wonderful spirit in the team as well. I think they've become so important so quickly, whether they're playing individually or together. And like you said, Emery's decision to kind of just push things up front a little bit. And the other thing that was a magical moment for me, and I want to get to Ramsey, but I also want to squeeze this in. What a moment for Torreira. Talk about a player who's come in and we've all fallen in love with him so quickly, and he's become an instant cult hero. That moment is one of my favourite Arsenal moments. I don't think that stadium's been rocking, to go back to what you said at the beginning, Amanda, since the Liverpool comeback. last year, the three when we were down, that comeback in that short space of time, those three goals, that was the last time it rocked. But it only rocked for 20 minutes. This was a totally different experience, and it came across on TV. It absolutely came across. It was a different Arsenal all the way around. And a little while ago, maybe three or four pods ago, the two of us, and here's the question I've been waiting to ask you guys. We said that if we were given the choice, we would choose Ozil over Ramsey. And I feel like over the last few weeks, couple weeks, maybe even just a week, that may have shifted a little bit. Do you guys still feel the same about keeping Ozil over Ramsey? And if you could now, would you move heaven and earth to keep Rambo at the Gunners?
I'd keep both, I'm afraid. I think it's a bit unfair on Ozil at the moment, but we shouldn't compare. I was so impressed with Ramsey, full stop. I always have been. But when he came out, I'm not sure you two wouldn't have heard this. He was interviewed on Talk Sport or whatever station he was on, and he was brilliant. They even said to him, "We know your contract dispute, blah, blah, blah." And he said, "Look, I've been here a long time. Of course I want to win the He was fabulous. And I think I don't have any problem with Ramsey. I want him to stay. I even tweeted about it last night. Yeah. But I want Ozil to stay. I want to have the best players at the club.
100%. 100%. If it was up to me, I'd keep them both.
Yeah.
And add to it, because we need a squad. I think mm-hmm. there's going to be games where Mesut Ozil is brilliant. We've seen this season there's been times where he's been unplayable and he can create so much. But we've also seen where Ramsey has come in and played. And don't forget, Ramsey went out to the Ukraine midweek and played out there with the youngsters, who had a fantastic result out in the Ukraine in the freezing cold. Not a problem, not a moan out of him. He came back, he was on the bench. Obviously, Unai Emery thought, right, it's time to adjust things. He came on and he was a star. He was a star yesterday. So we've got to give credit where credit's due. Yeah, the contract thing is out of our hands, but he is playing his position. He's an experienced international Arsenal footballer who is actually doing the business. And, you know, I commend him for it.
And clearly not complaining, like you said, Kev. That's 100% correct. He's just going about his business, helping the team where he can. And my mind shifted a little bit about him. It's in these moments where you realize players with history at the club are so important, you know, and Amanda brings something up in that, you know, we haven't seen this passion for such a long time. And I think what I love is that the players really showed that what they knew what it meant, this game meant. And that is really cool when you have a new manager and you've integrated new players, but they understand the magnitude of the game that they're involved in. And here's the thing, Kev, I'm not sure about you, but I think our lucky charm this weekend for the North London Derby was our own Princess Guna herself. I'm not sure if you agree with me, but we were very, very proud of our girl, because she made an appearance on Sky Sports News during a fan segment, and she absolutely handed it to this Tottenham fan. I don't even remember his name. I was too mesmerized with what she was doing. And we went on to win the game, and she told them so on Sky Sports News as well. And I thought that was pretty cool. And we just wanted to say well done, PG. And we were very proud of you, right, Kev?
Very well done, proud, and professional.
Oh.
Now he's going too far.
No, PG, you were so professional, and you dismantled him in a nice way.
Yes.
Just like we did at the weekend.
So you set the tone, PG. You said it, and the team finished it.
Do you know what? I virtually got everything right, which is so bizarre. I said that the main players would be Torreira, Lacazette, and Aubameyang. What I want to say about that was I really, really enjoyed it. Beforehand, I was actually bricking it. And they made me feel really comfortable in the break when I was talking to them. And I had a word with Lauren. Oh, I just told him, I loved him playing for us. I think I got all my nerves out. I think he thinks I'm a bit of a lunatic, but it doesn't matter.
No, we know you are.
But it was fabulous. And it was really interesting because I just sort of dealt with it like I was on a pod, really, because I was watching it, but I don't know how many people are watching. I've had such...
Millions, my dear, millions.
I've had such great feedback, and it is on our YouTube to watch if you want to go back and watch 9 minutes of me with this Spurs fan. But interestingly, one of the two of the points that really got me was saying that he didn't think that we had any players that knew what passion was in it. What this would mean in a North London derby. I think, right, my face went, as you could see, because I was fuming about it. As we saw yesterday, we saw the passion. And then when he said about Pochettino being a successful manager, I define success by trophies, I'm afraid. That's what we're there for. We're there to win and win trophies. At the moment, Emery's not successful. He's successful in an unbeaten run, and that's it, you know?
But that was the hashtag boom. That was your hashtag boom moment. You dropped the mic there.
And I loved it. But interestingly, I found him on Twitter last night, and I just tweeted him quietly without anyone else. I just went, hiya. And he went, fair dues, you pulled our pants down or something. And I went, what, with our mugs in midfield? Because remember, he said whatever mug was playing in midfield.
Yes.
He was a really nice guy, I have to say. And he was, you know, there's not much he can say, is there? I went, what, with our mugs, like in inverted commas, in midfield? I haven't heard from him. There's a shock, hey? It was fabulous. I really, really enjoyed it. And I hoped I did everyone proud because, you know, I'm there talking about Arsenal in a North London derby on behalf of Arsenal fans. So I loved it. I really, really enjoyed it. I was really appreciative of the invite as well. But the whole thing about it is I've not been able to concentrate all day. I've worn red to work because it's Christmas jumper day. As I walked in, my boss went, did you have to wear so much red? I went, well, it is Christmas and we have beaten Tottenham. So yes, I do. Even my mug was red today because my friend bought it for me. But,
perfect.
I just
absolutely
think,
perfect.
Do you know what? When they were saying, you know, we deserve this. We've had years of mediocre. I'm sorry. And I don't care if anyone calls me precious for saying it. I think we deserve football like this. You know, I pay a lot of money to go and watch this week in, week out. And I am loving going every match. I just love it. I love the fact the boys.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah,
it
has, Soph. I mean,
it's a good feeling.
Honestly, in all my years of going, I've never fallen asleep. I did last year. I nodded off for about 10 minutes watching a match, I think. And I did. Unfortunately, I can't deny that. I just nodded off. But I love it. And I'm just beating them because it's just happened again. Tottenham Hotspur, it's happened again.
Okay, so let's talk about something else real quick.
Go
because
on.
I know we're keeping it nice and tight for everyone because we're also doing another show on Thursday after the United game as well. So many positives, so many wonderful things happened in this game. It was brilliant, beautiful, magnificent. Really want to get Kev's feedback on this one, you know, just as Ian Wright has aired a documentary, which I know everyone has seen on, you know, his own journey with racism in football.
Oh, it was brilliant.
You know, we're in 2018 and someone throws a banana skin at Aubameyang when he's celebrating with his teammates. Kev, absolute disgrace.
I mean, it made me angry. I've got to be honest with you. And normally, you know, I don't get angry about football. I know there's loads of banter and, you know, there's loads of emotion involved. But when I was young and I was growing up and I, obviously there was a lot more racism and a lot more, you were subjected to taunts and all that kind of thing. You know, that was 30 years ago, 40 years ago, all these types of, decades, we're talking decades ago. And as far as I'm concerned, the game and the people within the game have moved forward so much. There's a lot of good that's been done around football. And look at the global brand that the Premier League is, you know, going around the world to different countries, different creeds, different colours, and everybody loves the game. And to have a spectacle like the North London Derby and to have some moron throw a banana skin at a black player when there's black players in their team? And this is the type of vile bullshit that I can't stand. But I've got to say as well, respect to some of those Tottenham fans who pointed this guy out, because yeah, mm-hmm. we do have a rivalry and we want to beat them and they want to beat us. I get that. But when somebody does something like that, the football must come together like it did and get these people out of the game. And I'm so pleased that they pointed him out. He got arrested and hopefully he'll get a lifetime ban, because we know we don't want racism in society, but we definitely don't want it in our football anymore. We've had our days of that, of the unsavory times. We don't need it. We want it out. And it was great that that guy got turfed out and arrested. I really feel so strongly about this one. What do you think, girls?
Well, interestingly, I didn't know what had gone on when I was there. I came out to it all. I'm a bit like angry, if anything, that anyone in this day and age, let alone when you were playing in years before, after what we watched with Ian Wright's brilliant two-parter, that what you went through, I'm fuming. I didn't see it there. I didn't know anything about it. I don't even know what goal it was that it happened on. Was it the penalty, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Because he was down that end. Yeah. I don't know. We didn't know anything at halftime. I saw nothing on social media. But interestingly today, I saw a Tottenham fan tweet and he was fuming and he said, no way, not having that in my club, you know, which I loved. And I said to him, well done, you know, because if this was an Arsenal fan, I'd be doing the same. But then interestingly, and quite disappointing, if I'm honest, Ian Wright received a tweet and from a Tottenham fan, or he pointed out a tweet. I need to get that right. I think he pointed out a tweet where a Tottenham fan went, "I'll grow up. It's only a banana skin." He wasn't racial with it. And Ian Wright, yeah, exactly.
Crying out loud.
And doesn't he not understand the word connotation? So I'm like, I tweeted it. I said, "What did you say?" You know, but what's great is, Kev, I don't think many people put up with it now. That was their own fans snitching on their own fan, you know, and that shows, doesn't it, that people won't tolerate this. They just won't. I mean, when was the last time we saw something like that?
I mean, we see it in Europe, don't we?
We see it in Europe a lot, yeah.
We see it happening in Europe, and obviously some of the UEFA European games, teams have to play on behind closed doors. So when you see it in Europe, you're disgusted with it, because we don't deal with that over here in our football grounds anymore, because it's such a multicultural sport. But to see that rear its ugly head after, I think it happened to John Barnes in 88.
Yeah.
I think it was the last time. I put something on Twitter today about 30 years. You know, what's the difference? John Barnes is back heel of the banana. Aubameyang's there and there's a banana skin on. And it's the mindset of some fans, you know, get over, grow up. Because it doesn't affect this person, that don't mean it's right.
No. Absolutely, 100% agree. And similar things happened as well at Brighton, you know, because there was the equality stuff and a lot of all the captains were wearing the rainbow colours and, you know, being in a minority, you know, these things do happen and they happen often. And it's really shocking and it's upsetting. And to see that happen to a world class player at a world class game, and we were watching world class football, where as a country, we want to be an example to other countries in what is acceptable and isn't. And to know that some of the things that Kev's gone through as well. I love how everyone's jumped all over it today. Yeah, no one's accepting that behavior.
No. No one, not even their own fans, Soph. There was only one idiot that I saw. But people need to be educated, Kev, and I'm hoping that people will be from that as such. Well, it's so out of context now. It just doesn't happen. It's not, all right, you're saying in Europe, but I'm talking about in the Premier League. I was trying to think back to when I last saw that. And to be honest, it's pathetic, if you ask me. Look, Aubameyang was over there because he took the penalty. And yes, should he have gone right to where fans maybe went left. So when the Tottenham player did it, I didn't really have a problem until the melee started. If you're going to give it, you've got to take it back. But you know what? I've heard he's going to be banned. That's fantastic. He needs to be. He needs to be educated. And he needs to apologise, actually, to Aubameyang, if I'm honest. And he needs to do that. Because this is disgusting behaviour. I'm telling you now, if I was at an away match and I saw that, I'd have the stewards and I'd point an Arsenal fan out. I wouldn't have it. And I can tell you now, I would
100%.
You know I would do that. Because I wouldn't have it. I just wouldn't. And I'm glad that people nowadays don't have it, Kev. So no one has to go through what they went through. Because the programme, you know, we're talking about Ian Wright's Out of Their Skin. If you want to watch it, just download it. It's really interesting. Really, really is interesting. But we have to move on. We're really, really lucky, Kevin, because joining us is the ref. So we can discuss the penalty that seems to have caused a lot of controversy. Not our one, because that was blatant handball and there's not been a discussion about it. But I'd like to welcome to the pod the ref. Hello, ref.
Hello, good evening, good evening, good evening, Kevin.
Hi, ref. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well indeed.
Good man.
So, Kev, I'd like you to put your case across, because while I was at the Emirates, you messaged me straight away and said they cheated us. It wasn't a penalty. So, fire away.
Right, ref. From what I saw, and I saw plenty of replays, Song, who went through, I totally understand the defender going to ground, but there was no contact of, if he didn't even touch him, and the player went down in the box and the penalty was given. I understand Dean wasn't in the best of positions to give the decision. Let's be honest. So how could he categorically give a penalty if he doesn't know whether there's actual contact or not?
Okay. He thinks there's contact. So first and foremost, the referee won't give a penalty unless he thinks there is contact. And unfortunately, we don't have, and I don't even think VAR would overturn it, by the way, because it's got to be clear and obvious. Football is a game, as you know, Kevin, where referees will referee sometimes off gut instinct. They'll look at a decision in quick time and they have to make an instant snap decision. I've seen it loads of times like you have. I watched it in preparation for doing this today. And I can't tell you whether there's contact. I don't know. My gut instinct tells me there isn't. When I saw it. See, what I do is I watch it at full speed. That's where I get my gut reaction from. And my gut reaction was he didn't touch him. That's my gut reaction.
Yeah.
However, Rob Holding, if Unai Emery has not got hold of Rob Holding behind the scenes and gone, well, don't do that, because all you're doing is inviting a decision to be given. I think the referee has gone off a gut. I don't think he can know 100%. And I suppose from there, then you would say, well, if he's not 100% sure, can he give a penalty? Can you be 100% sure about anything apart from probably the handball beforehand, which was 100%? I don't know. I referee and I sometimes go off my gut instincts. I go, what is my gut telling me here? I think he's touched him. That sways my decision and I'll give the penalty. He has to make that decision in a snap manner. What I will say about Mike Dean is he doesn't give himself a lot of time. He gives the decision within a second. His whistle goes to his mouth. He gives the penalty. I think he's been too quick in giving the penalty. I don't think he's given him enough time to think about what he's seen, because your brain still has to analyse what's in front of your face. And unless he's heard a rap on his leg or seen absolute contact, I think he's not giving himself the best chance of getting the decision 100% correct. However, I can see why he's given the penalty, if that makes sense.
Okay, so that's really interesting, actually, because, Kev, this is interesting as well for me. Gut instinct, okay? I'm not actually blaming Mike Dean for yesterday. I actually think he refereed perfectly fine. I'm a little bit confused why Vertonghen didn't get a straight red, but a yellow and a red, but you know, that's his view at the time. Gut instinct's interesting, because it's very hard when you're at the ground. We don't see it again,
But as I said, Kev, my dad's gut instinct straight away at home was it was, but no one since then has agreed. Everyone thinks that he took a dive or whatever. It's not about blaming Mike Dean, is it? I mean, he has given a lot of penalties this season, but and the last few seasons, but it's whether he can actually see, and his positioning wasn't good. So I'm not blaming Dean at all. I'm not interested what any other Arsenal fan says about Dean, because we've got this thing about him on this point. But are you still sure that there was no contact, Kev? Have you watched it that many times?
100%.
Okay.
100%. There was no contact whatsoever.
So what the ref is saying is, what was Holding doing?
No, Holding was going into the challenge, but he's pulled his leg away as he's gone in. But obviously Son is expecting contact.
Yeah, yeah, he's looked for it. Yeah.
He's looked for it. He's expecting contact and went down. And he's conned the ref. That's what he's done.
That's fair enough, but it's still a stupid challenge from Rob Holding in that position. He's inviting something to happen. It's a daft challenge.
Okay, well, that's interesting. And we're going to get...
On the straight red, by the way, on the Vertonghen thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a clearer red card you'll ever see. That's a shocker. That's a leg breaker.
Yeah.
So what was he thinking? That's interesting then. So what was he thinking? It was a yellow card, but because he was on a second yellow?
I think he's probably caught between a yellow and a red, if you get what I mean. I think in his head he's thinking it might be a straight red, that. But he knows he's going to send him anyway, because he's going to give him a yellow minimum. So I think he's taking the easy option. Because the proper option is a red card. It's a red card all day.
Yeah, I thought that.
Well, let's be honest, dear ref. They're getting a lot of the calls, aren't they? Let's be honest. There's one in the penalty box where the guy don't get touched and he's going off his gut and give the penalty straight away. This one's a leg breaker and a straight red. And he's being lenient with him and giving him a yellow. To me, that's bad refereeing. I've got to say it.
I think on the second one, on the red card, I think it is bad refereeing. Yeah. On the penalty, Mike Dean's given that because he thinks there's contact. And you don't agree, and that's absolutely fine.
I get that. You've explained it. I get that.
And I agree with you, by the way. I agree with you. Son's expecting to get clattered.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally understand. He's gone with his gut. Obviously, I'm watching it. It's not a penalty, but he's gone with his gut. It looks like there's contact, and he's given it. I get that. But that challenge on Lacazette was disgraceful.
Yeah, as a professional footballer, Kev, there's limits you can do, and that goes way over the line. I don't care whether you're losing in a derby. You don't do that to a fellow professional.
Very true.
And also that... go on, Kev.
Amanda, so, ref, can I ask you this? If Vertonghen got a straight red, is it the same amount of games as two yellows?
No, it's not.
No, it'd get an additional game.
Yes.
So is the ref being lenient to a Spurs player?
No, I don't think he's being lenient to a Spurs player. I don't buy. Me and Amanda have had this discussion many times.
No, well, he is.
I know.
No,
I agree with Kevin. Okay, sorry,
Kevin. Yes, by definition, he's being lenient to a Spurs player.
Yeah, that's what I don't mean. I don't mean it's because he's Spurs. I'm just saying he's being lenient to a Spurs player. Yes, by giving him the extra yellow.
I absolutely agree with you. What he's done, in my opinion, is he's erred on the side of caution. He's thought to himself, I don't want to be rash and give a wrong decision if the camera picks up that it wasn't as bad as I thought. And I know I'm sending him. So he's not thinking about the suspension. He's thinking about, because actually, if a player is suspended for an extra game, it doesn't affect Arsenal, does it? It affects Tottenham. Now, Arsenal are bothered about the player not being on the field, because at the end of the day, that affects that game. What annoys me is when players don't get a yellow card, a second yellow card, and the referee lets them off. And it's like, or when it can be looked at retrospectively and a player gets a ban, that doesn't help the team who he's actually done the foul against when he shouldn't be on the field. So I think Mike Dean is thinking about the game and not the longer term implications.
But shouldn't he be thinking about the actual tackle?
Yeah, he should be. He should be looking at the tackle and treating each tackle on its merits. But I'll tell you this, Kevin. I'll tell you this. How many times have you watched a game of football where every team involved, a player will get a yellow card, and then 2 minutes later, he'll do as bad, if not worse, foul or professional foul, or pull a player back, where if he's not on a yellow card,
he'll get
a yellow card, and he gets away with it. And it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Referee, what's in front of you? Referee the decision. Don't referee what he's had previous. If a player's stupid enough, look at Jordan Henderson last week against Watford. He knew he was off.
Yeah.
Took his armband off and walked down the tunnel. He did a professional foul. To be fair to him, he took his punishment. He went, "I'm off." You know, it's too easy for referees to referee the moment and go, "Oh, I don't know, I don't want to spoil the game." It's rubbish, that, Kev.
I agree, ref.
Just forget the rules then.
Okay, so you were saying before, ref, that even if we had VAR, we would be discussing it like this, wouldn't we? Was he touched? Wasn't he? VAR for me would have ruined the game yesterday. I'm not sure about this. I've never been sure about VAR, but there just seems to be so many decisions that are incorrect. The game is going to change. Is it coming in next season?
Next season. And I've just heard today, I think, that they're bringing it in for the latter stages of the Champions League this year, aren't they? So that'll make it interesting. I'm not sure about changing the competition halfway through.
I think it's going to change our game, and it's going to take me and many people who don't like VAR a lot of getting used to, Kev, because seriously, that game ebbed and flowed yesterday, didn't it? We'd be stop-start the whole game. I mean, Vertonghen, we would have wanted straight red. There was another instance. There was the penalty would have gone for ages. I think it would change the atmosphere. But anyway, right, ref, thank you so much for coming on.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Before I go, just from a referee's perspective, but also from a fan's perspective, watching that game yesterday, what an absolute joy to watch two football teams, whether it went over the mark or not, two football teams actually properly caring about the fixture that was in front of them. They were two teams who wanted to win desperately. Mm. And sometimes that went over the edge. Kev, you played in a derby with Steven Gerrard.
Yeah.
Who would go over the top a lot of time, and you got sent off more than any other player in a derby. To see those players, Arsenal, Unai Emery, has got fired in those players' belly. That every Arsenal fan should be very, very proud of. That's a proper football team playing a proper game.
Thank you. We are, aren't we, Kev?
Yes, we are.
We just spoke about that.
As the fans have said, we've got our Arsenal back.
Yeah.
It's showing on the pitch, ref. You're right.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting because next we go to Man United, and we've already just discussed that.
I'll let you beat them. You can beat them.
We hope we do. Referee, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you a lot.
Kevin.
Thanks a lot. Good evening. See you later, Kev.
Thanks for your time, ref. Cheers.
Thanks, hey. Ref. Bye.
Bye.
We're going to talk about United. So, we haven't got Xhaka. He's got 5 yellows. Mustafi, injured, I'm assuming. It's going to be tough Wednesday night because they are they're the pits, okay? They are. But we don't win at Old Trafford, right? Now, Kev, I know you're going. Unfortunately, I can't go because it's midweek. But I've got a bad feeling, if I'm honest, all right? I've had it since we left. I thought about this and I thought, this is the moment where everyone thinks we're going to wallop them. I don't know if we've got anything left after yesterday. So I'm going to come to you, Soph. What's your prediction and why?
Look at us agreeing a lot lately. We both called 3-2 at the weekend. Mm. You know, we're both in love with Torreira. You know, I'm going to try and find something just so we can disagree quite soon, because I do agree with everything you're saying. And I don't know, with Mourinho as well, he seems to have our number no matter who, what kind of form we're in. He's definitely been a manager that has kind of owned us. And I think that they're so wounded and they're so bad that they could pull out one of those crazy performances where he saves his job. But his dressing room seems broken. They seem to be where we were. And apparently he called Paul Pogba a virus the other day. And I don't even know if those reports are true.
God.
It's pretty bad. So at best, I think we could go up there and get a 2-2 draw. I was going to say 3-1, but I agree. I think the game this weekend's taken a bit out of us.
Okay, so you're going for 2-2, Kev?
Do you know, Arsenal never have an easy game at Old Trafford.
Regardless.
Never.
Yep, I agree.
Regardless. It's always a tough place to go. But I believe in this Arsenal team. I believe Unai Emery is going to get it right. And a lot of teams that have gone to Old Trafford have caused Manchester United a hell of a lot of problems. I'm going for an Arsenal win. I don't care. I believe in it. I believe Arsenal are going to win. I believe Arsenal are going to win 2-1. It's going to be a tough game, but we're going to reverse the score of last season when they beat us 2-1, where Fellaini scored last knock-ins. I think we're a lot different side now. I know it's the emotion of beating Spurs, you know, but I don't think Unai Emery's going to allow it. I don't think he's going to allow it. And I believe Arsenal are going to win 2-1. And I think the deadly duo of Lacazette and Aubameyang are going to strike for us.
Okay, wow. So you're going for 2-1, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm hedging towards a draw, and I think I'm going to go for 1-1. We're definitely going to concede, even though they are not very good. And you're right about Mourinho, about Old Trafford. This is one of the games in the last 19, I'll say 17 now because of City and Chelsea, that I'm not looking forward to. I'd take a draw right now, if I'm honest. I'm not worried about being fourth, fifth, whatever at the moment. You don't win nothing in December. It's going to be tough, Kev. Surely we're going to be shattered. We gave everything yesterday. But you know what? Let's hope Sophie and I are wrong and you're right.
I called a 2-2. I'm all right with a draw.
Yeah, I'm all right with a draw. I'm calling 1-1.
Yeah.
But he's calling a win. You know, we want Kevin to be right, obviously.
Yeah.
Of course. We always want Kevin to be right.
Always. No, we just want to win. We don't care who's right.
Yeah, we want to win, don't we?
I was sitting there yesterday and the people around me went, "You called 3-2. I went, "It's not 3-2 yet. There's still 15 minutes to go here." Because I was worried it was going to go to 3-3, let alone 4-2. But, so Kev 2-1, Soph 2-0, me 1-0. And, yeah, Mourinho, Old Trafford, their pants at the moment. We're going to do another podcast straight
now's
after.
Now's the time for Emery to have another signature moment.
So if I'm
keep
telling you now,
going.
I agree with you. If we hadn't played Spurs and had the week off, I'd be going for 4-1. I'd be honest with you, I'd be going for something like that. I just think Sunday to Wednesday night with that team exhausted. But hey ho, go on, Kev. Sorry.
What we've got to look at is as well, United have been losing to Newcastle at home. They were losing 2-0 against Southampton. So they're conceding a lot of goals. Wolves should have beat them at their place.
Mm-hmm. And we can score goals.
We can score goals. Unai Emery is a master tactician. He will get it right. I believe it won't be an easy game, but I believe he will get it right. And let's believe in this team. Let's believe in them. I know. Listen, if you get a draw, fair enough. I'll take a point, but I don't want a point. I want the win.
Yeah,
I want to be positive with these guys.
Kev?
Yes, my dear.
You're going to be there and I'm not. So listen, just sing your heart out.
I promise I will.
Like you did yesterday with Red Nose John. I have got Red Nose John on video singing Lacazette. That's all I need to know. That's
there you
it.
Go.
Can you imagine Converting. Me ever singing Salah or Firmino or anything like that? It's brilliant. We
no
love
chance.
You, John. Brilliant. Okay, so it was quick and we beat the Spurs. Woohoo! And now we go on to Old Trafford. Thank you for listening. Thanks, Kev, for joining me.
You're welcome, darling.
Thank you. Soph, thank you. I know it's the middle of the work day for you. Appreciate it.
No problem, babe. And we didn't beat Spurs. We gave them a nice old little fashioned whooping, I think, at the end
we
of the day.
We whooped their asses.
Put them to bed.
Yeah. Who are they? Anyway, as we move on to Old Trafford, let's hope that we do not lose. Okay, let's hope. But from the Highbury squad, thank you for listening and thank you for all your tweets. And I really appreciate all your comments about my little interview on Sky Sports. It was lovely. And always Arsenal!